So Hebrews chapter 1, 1 to 2, 4. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the power of his word. Sorry, the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I've begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will.
Fiona, thanks very much for reading the passage. As Fiona mentioned as well, this term we are going through the book of Hebrews, so it's going to be really exciting, and let me commend it to you. Do invite your colleagues and do come back each week. I'm going to pray, and then we'll jump right in. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Father, we do pray and ask that we may hear your Son and we will pay much closer attention to him. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just the other day, I was asking a friend who's not a Christian if he reads the Bible. And to my great surprise, he says, "Yeah, often. Often I do read the Bible when I have trouble sleeping." And maybe you kind of resonate with that. Whenever you open up the Bible, your eyes start to droop and you make a big yawn and you start to feel really sleepy. And so let me ask, why do we often find it so hard to listen to God's word? Sometimes I will put up my hand and I admit, sometimes the preacher is quite dull. And if that's the case, I'm sorry, please bear with me. And if I do put you to sleep, you are not the first, so I won't be offended. But sometimes life is just really busy. You don't want to look at your phone at the moment because you have 300 unread emails in your inbox. And the 301st that comes in is from your boss asking you for help to realign some boxes in your PowerPoint slide. And in those cases, reading the Bible is the last thing on your mind. But sometimes the Bible, to be really honest, it's just a bit boring. It is a bit boring. Things sound quite complicated, quite complex. Things are unfamiliar names that sound really strange, places that seem really distant. And so it can seem really boring. And sometimes it is too familiar. It's the same old message again and again and again. It's hard sometimes, isn't it, to listen to God's word. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Page 1206, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. You see, the listeners of Hebrews, when it came to God's word, they had their hands on their ears. They became hard of hearing. Listening to God's word, it was hard. It was hard for them. So what is the solution? Well, the solution is the book of Hebrews. The preacher, in the opening words in his letter to them, offers a solution. And in one sense, the solution is something that they already knew. It is to know who is speaking whenever Scripture is open. So who is speaking whenever the Bible is open? Come on, it's a Sunday school answer. It's the answer to every Sunday school question. Who's speaking? God is right, but I wasn't thinking of God. Jesus, exactly. Jesus is speaking the answer to every Sunday school question. And so they already knew it's Jesus who is speaking. But in another sense, the preacher of Hebrews is telling them something more than they knew. Because the one who is speaking is far bigger than we think. He wants to expand our views. He wants to awaken our senses to the one who speaks. And he wants to shatter our pre-existing categories. Because the one who is speaking, is nothing less than the eternal Son who became the enthroned Son. Well, are you following the handout? That's our first point. The eternal Son who became the enthroned Son. I look at verse 1 again of Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, and many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he spoke to us by his Son. Long ago, God spoke through visions and through the prophets. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 19. God says, by the prophet, whoever will not listen to my word, that the prophet shall speak in my name. You know, whoever doesn't listen to the prophet, God says, I myself will hold him accountable. And so if you're an ancient Israelite traveling the desert with Moses, are you going to listen to the prophet or to your LinkedIn feed? Answer, always the prophet. Again, will you listen to the prophet or the latest career guru? Again, always the prophet. But now, says the preacher, verse 2, in these last days, he has spoken. He has spoken to us by his Son. Do you hear the decisiveness in his words? He has spoken to us by his Son. And so there are two ages of God speaking, long ago by the prophets, but in the last days, today, in fact, through the Son. And so if you want to hear God speak, you listen to the Son. If you want to understand who God is, you listen to the Son. The Son is the fullest and the final revelation of the Father. He is the final word. And so if you hear someone claiming to have additional words from God, let's call him a certain Joseph Smith or a certain Muhammad, or any self-proclaimed prophet, you tell them, no. You tell them, no. God has spoken through the Son. Oh, but it's more. Look at verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We can spend a few weeks unpacking this one verse, but it's so dense that I'm going to get your help, okay? In verse 3, I'm going to suggest that the author highlights two different aspects of Jesus. Okay? There are two different aspects of Jesus. So I'm going to get your help with the person next to you. In 30 seconds, can you identify the two different aspects or categories used to describe the Son? Okay? 30 seconds. Go, and I'll call this back. Verse 3. Okay, we're looking for two different categories of aspects of the Son. Okay? Okay, sorry, time is up. Okay, did anyone spot it? Here are the two categories. Okay, see if you got this. The first category, or the first aspect, is something that's always true of the Son, a timeless description of the eternal Son. But the second perspective is something that happens in history, something in an economy, the specific acts of the Son. Firstly, what is always true about the Son? Well, here's the radiance of the glory of God. What is the radiance of the glory of God? If you like, he is the visible manifestation of the glory of God. He's the visible manifestation of the glory of God. And next, he's the exact imprint of his nature. He is the perfect representation of God. And what else? He upholds the universe by the word of his power. His words keeps the sun and the moon in place. Do you notice these are attributes always attached to the eternal Son? These are permanent truths about him, the eternal Son. But here's the second aspect. It is something that happens in history, something that the Son does. The second half of verse 3, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The phrase sat down at the right hand, we'll see again, it's a very key phrase in the book of Hebrews. Whenever you hear the phrase sat down at the right hand, you need to have your antenna kind of going, okay, whenever we look at Hebrews. It's a very key phrase, and it comes right out of Psalm 110. And if you hear last week, I mentioned that Psalm 110 is the most quoted Old Testament text in all of the New Testament, and is the main Old Testament text of the preacher of Hebrews. It comes up in 1 verse 3, 1 verse 13, 5 verse 6, 5 verse 10, 6 verse 20, 7 verse 17, 7 verse 21, 8 verse 1, 10 verse 12, 12 verse 2. Okay? Psalm 110, the key text in Hebrews. What does Psalm 110 say? Well, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. And so it is a verse to describe the Davidic king. The king who has been enthroned. The Son who died, rose again, offered himself as a purification for sins. After that, he was enthroned on high. He was given the seat of honor at God's right hand. And you see something that's always true of the eternal Son, but then something that's true in history of the enthroned Son. Again, if you were here last week, you remember the image of the Son. He is standing at the edge of heaven, and he's got a zip line in front of him. What does he do? He clips in, and he jumps off the cliff, and you hear the mechanism going zzz, and he zooms down to heaven, down as a man, down into the grave. He rises again and ascends back to heaven at God's right hand. The eternal Son who became the enthroned Son. We will know about the war in Ukraine when it first started. President Zelensky, one of the things that earned him lots of respect was that he was not just a figurehead. But you do remember whenever he came to the news, he was always wearing an army uniform. He was always there in his army uniform. And when he was offered evacuation by the Americans, you remember this phrase, he says, I don't need a ride. I need ammunition. And so he was part of the mess. And that's why he earns the respect of people. But here is Jesus. He is the creator, the owner, the upholder of the universe. He demands respect. Yet he doesn't stay there. He could have stayed there. that he comes down to be part of a mess, and he earns our respect, so he's enthroned on high. So this is the Son who is speaking, not just the eternal Son, but the enthroned Son. And so do you know who is speaking? Do you grasp the magnitude of the one who speaks? It is the eternal Son who became the enthroned Son. Again, I'm very conscious that at every lunchtime, there will be individuals who are looking into the Christian faith. And if that's you today, I want to say you're very welcome. And one of the main reasons why we put on the talks like this is for you to keep asking your questions. And I encourage you to keep doing so. And perhaps you may need more convincing, and that's fine. But here is a thought. If it were true about the person that you're investigating in, the person of Jesus, if he is the one whose words upholds the universe, the one who came from heaven down to earth to be enthroned on high, if that is true, does that change the way you approach him? Does it change the way you hear his words? Something for you to consider. Well, a few days ago, after a long day, I was sat on the couch, feeling quite worn from the day, I guess bumming there. And in the distance, when I was on my couch, I could see the kitchen sink and the plates kind of just peeping above the kitchen sink being powered up. And let me tell you, something really amazing happened. Okay, something really amazing happened. There was a dazzling bright light. So bright that I had to cover my eyes. And could you believe what appeared in front of me? It was an angel. It was an angel. His appearance was impressive, but his voice was even more impressive. It was like a loud trumpet. And he said to me, "Go, wash the dishes. Get off the couch and wash the dishes." Well, what did I do? Well, of course, I got off the couch and went to wash the dishes. Of course, it's not entirely true. There was no angel, but I was on the couch bumming, and there were dishes in the sink to wash. But the point of saying this is, if you were visited by an angel, will you listen? Will you listen? Well, of course you would. Angels, they are God's messengers. Their winds and their flames are like fire. And such, if so, if an angel were to command such attention, how much more the Son? And that brings us to our second point, the Son who is superior to the angels. Look at verse 7. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Angels are no doubt exalted figures. They are made by God. They are his ministers with flames of fire. But the Son is of a different league. Verse 8. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Have you ever wondered what God the Father says to his Son? Here's what he says. God the Father calls his Son God. Your throne, O God. The Son is God himself. He sits on the divine throne, who holds the scepter of righteousness. But not only is he God, he's also the Lord. The Lord in the Old Testament is the divine name of God, Yahweh. And Jesus, the Son, is also the Lord. Verse 10, the Father says to the Son, you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning. The heavens are work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same. Your years will have no end. See, the Son is not only God, but he's also the Lord. He bears the divine name. He is the beginning. He laid the foundations in the beginning. He is the end. They will perish, but you remain. He is the creator. The heavens are the work of your hands. He is the everlasting. Your years will have no end. See, the Son is God himself, the King, the bearer of the divine name, the beginning and the end, the only creator, the final judge, the everlasting. And so there is no comparison between the angels and the Son. Don't hear me wrong. It's not that angels aren't significant or that their words have no impact. See, the preacher wants us to be absolutely clear that angels are not meant to be trifled with. Archaeological and historical evidence confirms the efficacy of the message delivered by angels. Here's a test. Does anyone know what is in room 10B in the British Museum? Anyone?
It's quite...
No, good guess. Well, it's quite a famous one. It's the Siege of Lachish. Has anyone heard of the Siege of Lachish? Well, Lachish is the closest town to Jerusalem. It was one of the second biggest city in Israel. And the Siege of Lachish depicts Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, coming down from the north, destroying the entire city of Lachish and taking back the people of Jerusalem, Israelites, back to Assyria. And so when the author says the message given by angels proved reliable, he means this. See, the message declared by angels in Hebrews 2, verse 2, refers to the law, the Mosaic law, the Mosaic covenant that God made with his people. And the consequences of breaking the law was exile. The nation of Israel was taken to exile. And the siege of Lachish is proof of that. Hebrews 2, verse 2, the message delivered by angels proved reliable. Their transgressions received a just retribution. And so the preacher is saying, well, the angels, well, they are not to be trifled with. Their words carry weight and power. But for all the exalted status of the angels, the preacher still says, there's no comparison. There's no comparison with the angels and the Son. The Son, he made them. They are his messengers. And so he wants us to imagine the divine courtroom where the angels and the ministers of God, they are elevated creatures sitting around the divine courtroom, standing in a circle. And the door to the courtroom opens and in walks the Son. He doesn't just stay there. He walks through the courtroom and takes a seat right next to God. You see, the Son, he trumps the angels. He's superior to the angels. So who is the one who's speaking? Well, it's the Son. It is the Son, the eternal Son, who became the enthroned Son. But he's also the Son who's superior to the angels. Well, I started by considering why we find it so hard to listen to God's word. And I want to suggest that it really comes down to this. Who do we think is speaking? Well, imagine we had a few of the head honchos of all the big companies here in Canary Wharf. You have John Holt from KPMG, so sitting maybe over there. Jane Fraser from Citibank, maybe over there. Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan over here. And let's say Charles Adams from Clifford Chance sitting over here. Okay. If they are here and if they speak, we listen. Right, we lean in and we take notes. But if the Son walks into the room, the one who is the beginning and the end, the only creator, the everlasting God, the ones whose voice upholds the universe, when he speaks, they listen, they lean in, and they take note. And so if we are struggling to listen, the preacher, he elevates our view of the Son. And he makes us reckon with the voice that comes from the right hand on high. And this is what we've been hearing since we've been reading the words of Scripture. See, we are not dealing with technicalities of the text. We're not just spotting interesting observation in some words on a page. We're not even listening to a pep talk. We are listening to Jesus, the Son of God himself. And so again, I want to encourage all of us to make Wednesday lunchtimes a priority. Again, there may be good reasons why you may not be able to make it to the lunchtime talk here. And, you know, we are all adults. You can make your own decisions and you're free to kind of prioritize your own calendars. But I want to encourage you not to forget who is speaking each Wednesday. And so here's a suggestion as you go back to work. Maybe your manager pings you on your team's chat and he says, well, it's Wednesday lunchtime. Our CEO is going to be speaking about the direction of the company and I'd like for you to be there. Could you say, that's great. I'd love to be there. But during that time, the voice that upholds the universe is going to be speaking. So I'm really sorry I can't make it next Wednesday. Well, don't blame me if you lose your job. Okay, I'm just suggesting. But it's just a thought. It's just a thought. Who is speaking whenever you open the scriptures on Wednesday or on Sundays? And ultimately, it's not about coming here on a Wednesday. It's about your entire direction in life. See, are we orientating our lives around his words? Who is the voice that we're most listening to amidst the cacophony of voices in society? You know, telling us to live this way or that. Who are you ultimately listening to? Are we paying attention to the sun? I'm going to pray, and then we have time for questions. Therefore, the preacher says, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. Our Father, we do pray and ask that we may listen well to the voice of your Son. And we pray that we'll be those who hear and listen and follow and obey. And we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.